Welcome into the KSRO kitchen. I'm Steve Garner, along with, what's your name again?
Jacques Pepin.
Jacques Pepin. Yeah. Chef Jacques Pepin. Nice to see you again. And we'll be meeting our chef of the morning in just a few minutes. But I want to mention that we got a great email this morning from Gareth, who is the owner of Parish Cafe and the Elephant in the Room, which is up in Healdsburg. We had Gareth on, I think it was last Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
He came in with red beans and rice and jambalaya and etouffee and all kinds of things. We couldn't make it today, but that's okay. We have another great
show. I was hoping he'd make it.
I'm sorry, but he wanted me to announce that they're having their fourth annual throwdown happening on March 4th. Celebrate Mardi Gras right in Healdsburg, where they'll have the beer and winter, the wines flowing, crawfish boiling, gumbo bubbling, live music, and a guaranteed good time. Tickets will be available on Eventbrite very soon, as of this weekend. The party starts at 2 o'clock, ends when the music stops. The stage at Elephant in the Room will be bringing the sounds of New Orleans with three great bands. Brian Boudon. That sounds like a... Doesn't that sound like
they made that up.
He probably has a stage name, probably. Yeah. And the Swamp Dogs. Spike's Awesome Hotcakes. Vernon Ice Black and the House Party. And the Parish Cafe will have your favorite Louisiana dishes available from 2 to 8 p.m., including crawfish boil with Louisiana crawfish, po' boys, muffaletta, gumbo, jambalaya, beignet, and more. Featuring the wines of Flambeau Wines and beers from Fog Belt Brewing. There's a photo booth also. Kids activities like mask decorating and coloring. It's $25 for adults, $15 for kids 2 to 12. And children under 2 are free. You can't bring in food and drink, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, some people think, well, No.
Right.
You get the admission price. So how it works is the ticket covers entrance to the event, all the music. And once inside, you can get food and drink tokens for $8 available for purchase at the event. And most food and events, a drink cost one token. So it's reasonable.
So this is your chance to get crawfish.
Yeah.
They used to be readily available. You could find them in fish markets.
Well, you get them from the Delta in Sacramento.
Well, but it's not like you used to.
No.
You could get them from New Orleans, ship in 100 pounds.
Did you ever do that?
Yeah. One of the things I did, which people thought was really thing in my restaurant days, we would put a little crawfish on every fish dish, and people thought, whoa, because they didn't know how to eat them.
Well, you're supposed to like bite off the head to suck the heads or something like that.
You twist the head.
Twist them off,
And then suck the body.
Yeah. Well, after a couple beers, you'll get the feel of it pretty quickly. So this is the Parish Cafe in Healdsburg. I remember Rob Lippincott, the founder owner who we used to have on with his wife every year. Of course, he gave up during COVID and moved to Nashville. I think he's in Tennessee now. But luckily, Gareth and his wife came forward and continued the tradition of the
Parish
Cafe.
It's kind of the same menu.
It is very same menu. Yeah. Well, actually, before Rob departed, he consulted with the new owner and made sure all the recipes were authentic and that they had them under their hands and could really reproduce the type of food that he became famous for. So put that on your thing for Tuesday. You know, a little party. Remember, don't forget to dress to impress. Because this is a Mardi Gras party up at Parish Cafe in Healdsburg. You can go to their website and find out more information. So why don't we take a quick break? We will come back just as quickly. And we'll head out from Healdsburg. We'll go down 101 and then we'll go east to Kenwood, California. How about that?
Good.
Sounds like a good idea. It's America's longest running radio food show. The KSRO Good Food Hour, founded in 1987 by Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner. We'll be right back after this.
Thinking about selling your home? It's a big decision, but you don't have to navigate it alone. Contact Allison and Stephanie Norman, the Norman Home Team.
What's holding you back? A low mortgage rate? While rates may stay steady, your home's value has likely increased, meaning more equity to put toward your next move.
Not sure your house is ready to sell? Connect with us first, as local experts will help you focus on the right updates, increasing your ROI, saving you time, money, and effort.
Worried about finding your next home? There are multiple ways to make it happen. We'll find a solution that works for you.
When you have questions, we have answers. Let's chat. No obligation, just expert advice.
Selling Sonoma, Napa, Lake, Mendocino, and Northern Marin counties. Now more than ever, who you work with matters. Contact the Norman Home Team. Visit normanhometeamwinecountry.com to get started. The Norman Home Team at Keller Williams Realty. Because two heads are better than one. DRE license number 01720334 and 0220937.
The Sonoma County Legal Line. Get answers to your legal questions on a wide variety of issues. Real answers from Satare Law, a personal injury law firm powerhouse.
I was involved in a car accident sustaining injuries. I was not at fault. Should I hire a personal injury attorney?
Personal injuries can be emotionally and financially devastating. Daniel Satare is an attorney who specializes in personal injury law with extensive experience in auto, bicycle, and motorcycle accidents, wrongful death, and more.
My partner suffered spinal injuries in a car accident. And we don't have health insurance. Can we get the other insurance company to pay for upcoming treatments and lost wages?
Daniel Satare and his team will guide you through the challenging issues of a personal injury case, always protecting your legal rights. Get answers to your legal questions on a variety of issues. Real answers from law offices like Satare Law. Find out if you need a lawyer and make an informed decision. Go to KSRO.com now and click on the Sonoma County Legal Line.
The Santa Rosa Rec and Parks Spring Summer Activity Guide is here. Fun for the whole family.
Try Tiny Tots or Kinder Gym for toddlers. Or sign up for gymnastics, dance, sports, sailing, swimming, or art classes.
Keep the kids entertained this spring break with our popular day camps.
Adults, unleash creativity with art and dance classes. Improve fitness with martial arts, yoga, lap swimming, or water fitness.
Register now for the St. Patrick's Day 5K Run Walk, Sunday, March 16th at Courthouse Square.
Visit SantaRosaRec.com to sign up today.
Want the best lunch buffet in the North Bay? Mountain Mike's has you covered. Weekdays from 11 to 2, enjoy unlimited pizza and salad for one low price. It's the perfect combination of flavors and flexibility. It's the best of both worlds. Combine a slice or two of pizza with a personalized salad creation all your own. Choose from their legendary crispy curly pepperoni, classic cheese, or specialty pizza. Create your ultimate lunch experience just the way you like it. Online at mountainmikes.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, founder, of course, of John Ash and Company Restaurant. He's been cooking here for about 45 years or so. So he's been around a bit in Sonoma County. And someone that's been cooking not quite that long, but has become really a part of the restaurant landscape, especially with him opening his second restaurant today, is Chef Ari Weisswasser. And thanks for coming in to join John and me. I know you're a little sleep deprived this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
Would you say you were sleep deprived or not sleep deprived?
No, I mean, I'd say the 2 weeks since we've been in the restaurant training and getting ready for pre-opening, the last 2 nights we had our friends and family, which was, it was great. You know, we learned a lot, and obviously there's stress and anxiety and some sleepless nights and waking up in the middle of the night and jotting down notes and things. Yeah.
So what have you learned? What was the big aha?
I don't know if there was one big aha. I think we learned there's a lot of little details that you can't prepare for in training when you have a full house with live, you know, guests and just all the pressure, and you're on stage, it's an open kitchen and all the things. So in the last 2 days, I'd say extremely valuable lessons in both reorganization in the kitchen, some shifts in front of the house for support, you know, especially behind the bar, and just kind of little touches and things like that. We had people, you know, really that know food, that enjoy food. Some are professionals, some are not, but in their own words, they gave us real valuable critique. Oh, and great. Sometimes as a chef, you know, for instance, the my buddy, we sent out our tuna crudo, and it was, you know, all the things that you wanted. And he's like, you know, it doesn't really taste great unless you get everything on a fork on the same bite. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's kind of the point. He's like, yeah, but like, what if you miss one component? He's like, what if you like made a sauce? Like, this is not groundbreaking information. And I was like, actually, you know, you might be right. And he's just, you know, he knows food. And I'm sitting here, you know, not putting a sauce on my crudo. And so now...
That's a great insight.
Small adjustment, right? Yeah.
So. And you're shaking your head, yes. Like, would people have given you feedback over the 40 years of the restaurant touring?
No.
You never did.
I just told them to go... talk to yourself.
So let's back up a little, Larry. And how did your first restaurant, Glen Ellen Star, come about in Glen Ellen?
Yeah, so we, my wife and I, Aaron, we were living in New York at the time. And, Aaron, my family, my in-laws are the Benziger family. You probably know that name.
Of wine fame.
The wine, yeah. And so Aaron always was going to end up back in Glen Ellen, married or not. And so that was kind of part of the contract.
And you just came along.
Yeah, I just came along. Well, yeah, but before we got into our get serious, she said, you know, if we ever end up getting married, just know that I'm going to end up back in Sonoma. And I'm from Philadelphia, and that's a long way from home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, thought about it and was like, all right, yeah, let's give this a shot. So sure enough, about 5 years after we got married, we were pregnant with our first daughter. We're living in New York City and could not afford to raise a child in New York City.
Yeah.
And so that was the opportune time. And so we relocated to Glen Ellen from Manhattan overnight, just like that. And quite a bit of culture shock. And
so I was going to say, Glen Ellen, the tiniest town in Sonoma County.
Population 703 and Manhattan. Yeah, and that was it. I just pulled the plug and didn't have a plan, didn't have really anything other than a wife who was 5 months pregnant or 3 months pregnant. And so we moved in with our in-laws in Glen Ellen.
Wow.
And I started working at the time. Christopher Costo had Meadowood, and I knew Tim Hollingsworth, the chef de cuisine at the French Laundry, just from New York. And I reached out. I was like, hey guys, I'm here. Looking for a job, about to have a baby, kind of freaking out. And they're like, hey, come on in. So I worked in both restaurants, and I chose the French Laundry. I think the iconic kitchen and the backstory, and I figured that was my best shot at establishing a network and getting acclimated.
Pulled some shifts there.
I did. I was a line cook there.
Oh yeah,
I did. I was on Garde Manger, and then I was on the meat station and or saucier, if you will.
Yeah.
And we were driving by. I was commuting Glen Ellen to Yountville over Trinity. You know that crazy windy road, which is wild. I rode bike that.
We
road
call
now,
it the Trinity Grade.
Grade. And I got kind of tired of that commute, and we were driving by Glen Ellen Star, which was used to be called Saffron.
Saffron,
if you remember it. And Saffron closed, it went up for sale. And I drove by, it was like 5:30 in the morning. I saw for sale sign. I was on my way to work, and I'm like, huh, let me look into the space. So it ended up, we ended up buying the location.
Talk about fortuitous.
And without the concept, just bought, you know, no plan. And they don't teach you about the PRMD and permits in culinary school. In my head, I'm like, oh, how hard is this going to be? Just going to open up a restaurant. And they're like, well, you need permits. I was like, what is a permit?
But it was already a functioning restaurant.
Yeah, but it was sinking into the ground. And we had to, refortify the foundation, rebuild the restaurant, strip it to the studs, take the floor out, and literally build the building behind it, build the patio, the annex. I mean, it was a project.
God, this is perfect training for Stella.
I was going to say, you've done it again.
And that was just me. I didn't have a team. My wife was, we had a newborn, and it was just me and our contractor.
So when did you open Glen Ellen Star?
May 2012, 18th.
That's 13 years now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was the accolades immediate?
No, I think... While I was at the French Laundry, I was off Wednesday, Thursdays, if I remember. And every Wednesday night, I would do a dinner for about 8 to 10 people in my in-laws' house. And we put this wood oven up there, and I just started practicing. So pizza, all our opening menu over about a six-month period, I would just cook. And people, sometimes they were friends, sometimes influencers. Yeah. Eventually, we got some people coming to our house. And so we actually had restaurant reviews before we opened the restaurant.
Yeah.
Which is wild, right? Yeah. So we had like a Yelp pay at all. And I didn't know the significance of it at that time because that's not where my specialty was. But we had a buzz going open, and we have... We've been on a like a rocket ship ever since. It's, it's been an amazing ride.
And when did you first get Michelin notice?
I think that was 2 years in. So we've had a Michelin recognition for going on 11 years now. Yeah, so
worthy,
we opened
worthy
so
of
13,
a stop.
So 2 years. But you know, I think it's the right recognition because you know, there's the Michelin. There's you know, your knives and forks, and then there's the Bib Gourmand is our recognition, and that's kind of like a neighborhood gem. But it's not occasional. It's, you know, a weekly visit. And I always felt like the star, the Michelin star, might do more harm than good. And I could be wrong there because I don't know. But I always felt like, you know, we wanted Glen Ellen to be, Glen Ellen Star to be accessible in neighborhood. And that was my one kind of, you know, contention. If you will.
Well, you wouldn't be angry if you could suddenly get a star.
No, I wouldn't be angry at all. No, not at all. I know that, you know, when we designed that restaurant, the concept, I always thought about where I would want to eat once a week. And when I was in New York, you know, I only one day off and it would always be in a restaurant with some kind of wood fire cooking. Always. Oh, it could have been an oven, a grill, a rotisserie, something. And so I knew that's what I wanted. And the rest of it, you know, picked out the oven and then pizza. I never made pizza before. I had to learn. I taught myself, you know, the whole process and program. And then we developed and improved and evolved the menu as we built our team and our skill set over time. So
is that one of the basis of Glen Ellen Star is pizza?
Yeah, pizza. That's one of the many highlights. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's. Cost efficient.
It is cost efficient.
Okay, so from an ingredient standpoint, yes. Yeah. But from a labor standpoint, yeah there's a lot. And we have a live sourdough starter, which we kept alive until the 2017 fires. And then we lost all power. We didn't have a generator at the time. And I had a refrigerated truck, and for 2 weeks, I'm driving around with a starter. And you know, so we end up losing all of our products. And the starter. And so at the time, my pastry chef was working at Della Trattoria.
In
Petaluma. And she was learning bread and how to bake bread, which is how we got our program up and running.
Oh.
And they were very generous and lent us or gave us their starter.
Their starter.
And now, so we've had that starter since 2017, October. And that, now we brought that to Stella. So now it's the pizza, you know, in the pizza recipe. At Glen Ellen Star, and it's in our bread recipe.
You know, that's a beautiful, beautiful story, lineage, because Kathleen Weber was a friend of the show, and we had Kathleen on for years in Della Fattoria, and that starter story, that's something that's really important.
That was a lifesaver. Yeah, it really was.
Gosh. So you, I did not know all this backstory about Glen Ellen Star. And how you really built this from the ground up. I knew that it was Saffron before, and I thought, you just changed the permits and you moved right in. And
no.
It was a lot more than that.
So your new restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll move from how you got to Glen Ellen and how you got to Kenwood. And what are the hours at Glen Ellen Star?
We're dinner every night, 5 to 9 on weekdays and 5 to 9:30 on weekends.
You're open 7 days, did you say?
Yeah, 7 days.
And lunch is no.
It's a very small space. So lunch was very, you know, from a prep standpoint, from a, you know, infrastructure standpoint, we're limited.
Okay. It's funny when I think back when you talk about your wife being part of the Benziger family. I started in KSRO in 1981, and I was a disc jockey before we became News Talk in 1987. But I always did weird things on my radio rock and roll show. And one of those, I had loved wine ever since I was young. And I followed the Sonoma County Harvest Fair really closely. And in 1981, Glen Ellen Winery won the best wine of the one for their Chardonnay or Sauvignon Blanc. Chardonnay. And I tried to reach the Benziger family, and no one was available to talk with me live on the show except for Dad. Bruno.
Bruno, yeah.
Bruno Benziger. So you, I said, well,
you know, you know where they made that wine? The wine that won the award before they got launched. It was, I mean, the family lore, I think it was in a milk truck. Like it was some,
really?
Yeah, it was some crazy backstory where they had this unbelievable award and recognition making wine and like without what they had before they got to a point where they could
it shocked everybody. They came out of nowhere. Yeah. So Bruno's on the phone and I'm going, hey, Bruno, nice. Yeah, yeah. I said, well, what about the wine? And what about, they said, I got to tell you, Steve, I'm not a wine guy. I'm a liquor guy. I sell liquor. And I thought, and this is live radio. I'm going,
he's not wrong.
And so we had a chat. We had a conversation. I'm really proud of the family. You want to talk to Mike? That's the boys are really the ones you want to talk to. But, you know, I'm really glad about the award. It's really great. But, yeah, I mean, liquor is, that's what I sell. I know liquor.
It was Harvey Scotch. That was his that was his brand.
It was like unlike any interview I'd ever done before or since. But it was great. And when I told Mike and the family about, they remember, they said, oh gosh, I remember when Dad did this little bit with you in 1981 or so.
So it was actually would have been his 100th birthday yesterday.
Wow.
It's 27th. I think it was the 27th. Are we on March 1st?
Thursday would have been his. But still. That's historic for you and your wife to be opening the restaurant this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
we'll take a break. Chef Avery Weinswasser is our special guest. He's the owner, founder of Glen Ellen Star, and also the soon-to-be-opened, actually within just a few hours, right, of Stella, officially?
Yeah, at 4:30 today.
4:30 this afternoon. He's launching his latest restaurant, and we're...
Steve, we got to add Park Avenue Catering as well.
And Park Avenue, and we'll talk about that when we get back. You got that concern also in the last few years from Bruce Reiserman.
Yeah.
It's a really important part of your story, too. Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner, in the Chaos Arto Kitchen this morning. Back right after a couple quick messages. Don't go away.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
Hi, Amy here from Amy's Roofing and Solar. I wanted to give you a few tips for how to choose a solar installer. I'd love to help you avoid the horror stories I've heard. Tip number one, no matter where you are in the country, you should not be paying more than $4 a watt for a typical rooftop solar install. $3 to $5 a watt is average. Tip number two, choose a company that's easy to contact. Relying on an AI chatbot may signal poor customer service. And tip number three, choose a company where the salesperson is closely connected to the installers. Without accountability for the installation, the salesperson won't be motivated to ensure you get what was promised. At Amy's Roofing and Solar, we have great prices, excellent communication, and are accountable to you. Give us a call if you'd rather be putting money in your bank account than paying an electric bill. For more information, go online to amyrs.com, amyrs.com.
Simpson Sheet Metal is helping kids in our community to become million-word readers through Read on Sonoma. With over 35,000 books read, the number of participating students has dramatically increased over the last 3 years. There are almost 4,000 students, all 3rd through 6th graders, that averaged almost 90% or greater on their quizzes. Congratulations and keep up the good work.
One of the things I cherish most in my life is my grandkids. Spending time with them gives me such great joy. Now, we read their school books and their weekly vocabulary words along with chapter books. As they've grown, I've seen their reading skills and comprehension increase along with their interest in the world around them. Being a grandparent is one of the greatest joys of my life.
Lifetime outcomes for children who learn to read include better health, higher income, and increased graduation rates. Simpson Sheet Metal and Read on Sonoma, dedicated to improving children's lives in Sonoma County. ReadOnSonoma.org.
At American Ag Credit, we're more than just a lender because you need more to support your operation. With products like crop insurance, rural home loans, a team of agriculture analysts, and more, we offer the financial strength and expertise you need to grow your business. For more than 100 years, we've proudly served America's farmers and ranchers as a cooperative in the farm credit system. We're with you when it matters, and we'll continue to be for what's ahead. American Ag Credit, your future grows here. Visit agloan.com for more.
A guaranteed career as an officer with the California Highway Patrol is waiting for you. You can make a difference and enjoy a starting salary of $122,500 plus comprehensive benefits. Apply today at chpmadeformore.com and become part of the strongest team in California.
News anywhere. Stream KSRO from your smartphone or smart speaker. KSRO, Sonoma County's News Talk, FM, AM, and online.
I'm KSRO's Doug Dodds with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. We got partly cloudy skies, increasing clouds coming a little bit later on with some showers possible for later tonight in Sonoma County, and off and on rain for the weekend, including Sunday, heavier at times. Monday, we'll kick off the work week with cloudy skies. The next chance for some nice sunshine and mild temperatures will be middle part of next week. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash and Chef Ari Weisbosser. Ari is the chef owner of Glen Ellen Star, the soon-to-be-opened at 4:30 this afternoon Stella restaurant in Kenwood. We'll tell you about the exciting story of what went through to open that restaurant. But let's back up a little and how you got involved as the new owner of Park Avenue Catering. When did that happen?
That happened, 2015. Is when Bruce and I had a partnership. We had a backlog of catering inquiries and events at Glen Ellen Star. So Bruce had the infrastructure and the support, and we kind of outgrew our means. And so we had a great relationship for a couple years, and we would sell the events, and I would train the team and show up on site and execute the event. But I didn't have any staff. I didn't have any overhead. It was like a pretty sweet deal for me.
Yeah.
And then Bruce was ready to kind of wind down, and he was getting ready to sell Park Avenue. And so we made an agreement. We bought 50% of the business in February 2020 with the mechanism in place to acquire a majority. Mm-hmm. February 2020 was a month before COVID, probably the worst time in the world's history to buy a catering company and have an independent restaurant. But whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And Bruce is he's really a business like Jedi. And he navigated that that beautifully. And I have to give him lots of credit for that. That was just like, for me, I'm completely stunned with the challenges of both of those businesses in COVID. And but it ended up being an incredible 2 years, and you
retained a lot of people that had almost put down deposits.
Almost everybody, yeah. We made good on most clients, and when we got back on our feet, if they couldn't do their event, we obviously did the right thing and returned deposit. But in the moment, if we did that, we would have been gone.
Of course.
And so, you really learn. I mean, every single detail about both businesses, and it was just like an amazing wake-up call of
so they're different businesses, aren't they?
Yeah, they're completely different businesses. Yeah.
The whole catering world.
Yeah, the catering world is extremely challenging. A lot of heavy lifting, a lot of mobility. You're dealing with variables such as weather and temperature and rain and mm-hmm. I mean slopes and grades and lighting and other vendors blocking your way in and out. There's so much to know when you're in and out of an event. The logistics is most of it. If you can set that up and you have a competent team, what we found is, they can be very successful.
Have you done Bottle Rock yet?
No. So we don't, that's a different type. That's more of a vendor agreement. So we don't do vendor arrangements. We like the guarantee in the contract to know exactly what we're selling.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. So it's you for Park Avenue Catering at this point, along with Bruce is still kind of part of it.
So Bruce is our CEO, and my other partners are Diane Martin and Josue Villalobos are the two. So Diane and Josue have been with Park Avenue for almost 30 years.
Oh, boy.
And Diane is really integral in business development and sales. So we have a sales team of about seven to eight at times in the season.
And now we end up in Kenwood. Those are looking back, 1991, Cafe Chidi, when Luca and Linda came in.
So you have to talk about this place. We were so knocked out by how beautiful it is.
Yeah.
And how I just remember it being so rough.
Yeah.
It was a roadhouse.
Yeah. So I'd actually never been in the original Cafe Chidi, but I've heard about it. But it was never really in my orbit when I was mm-hmm. here. Well, but I did hear like the floors were goofy and the whole.
For those that have been around as long as we have, 50 plus years here in Sonoma County, we remember it was Belmonte's Delicatessen back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. So that's Vittorio
and Maria.
He was in last night. He's our landlord.
He came to us. So they opened this, and we stop in Highway 12 and get some sandwiches. It was really wonderful. And then they closed that down in the 80s and sold it to these people that opened a convenience store there. It was basically packaged sandwiches, wine, beer, and cigs, any cigarettes you want. And, you know, that lasted a bit. And we didn't really stop there very often. And then in 1990, they decided they wanted out. Now, the Belmontes still own the property.
They do, yeah.
And then Luca and Linda show up and say, yeah, we want to make this an Italian roadhouse. So they bought it and opened in 1990. We had them on in 1991. And they made it through 2021, I think it was, when COVID and a lot of things came to be, and they moved, and now they're at Farmers Lane and 4th Street with Cafe Chidi. Mm-hmm. So this building needed, from ground up, needed everything. Yeah. It was built, I think, just on soil, didn't even have a foundation, as I recall.
Correct.
It was a little cattywampus, the doors really wouldn't close quite, nothing was structurally really sound. Why did you tackle this? You knew this going in, didn't you, what was going to take?
Yeah, we did. It was a heavy lift, we'll call it that. our first pass was in Sonoma in the Plaza. And I'd say that the landlord-tenant relationship on the Plaza is not great. It's not very supportive. It's very one-way. There's a lot of, you know, code and ADA and compliance issues with the structural and the buildings that need to be fixed. So I'd like to say publicly, if we can pass an ordinance to require landlords to keep their buildings up to code for incoming tenants, that would do a major service to Sonoma, to the Plaza.
Well said.
So we ran into two obstacles. One was Murphy's that went up for sale. We tried to buy Murphy's, and same thing. Landlord was like, "Nope, you fix it," and we're like, "No, thank you." And Taub Family Outpost, you know, the landlords there are not very.
Oh, they weren't supportive.
Supportive, and so. You know, it's a challenging space because it's two levels. There's a lot of stairs, and nobody wants to walk upstairs, not guests and not employees. And then they want to put an elevator in the building. When you said elevator, I'm done. So anyway, so here comes Kenwood. Cafe Chidi was timing. They were under contract with another tenant fell through.
Yep.
And here they are. And they're like, hey, listen, here's what we'll do. We'll do all the ADA. We'll do the ramps. We'll build you a shell. We'll do everything behind the wall, HVAC. We'll do the hoods. We'll do the electrical, the plumbing. You just build it out. We're like, absolutely. That is an amazing offer. And so the Belmonte family, they've been amazing. They really just, they did exactly as they said. And they delivered us a shell. And it, you know, you're still quite a bit of money and investment and time and coordination. And then I have a dear friend, Seth Mays. He has a contract. His company is GMH Construction. They're total pros. They got in there, and they just, I mean, they're amazing.
When did you take ownership, and when did the construction begin?
The November 2023, we signed a lease, but we had a nice runway. We didn't really have to pay rent until about a year later.
Oh, that's good.
And then in the process, our architect and designer, Ian Reed and Gretchen Krebs, they're good friends of ours. They have a company called Medium Plenty. Mm-hmm. They're in town. And they, I mean, we had such a professional team opening. It was a lot of coordination. And then the heaviest lift was Cafe Chidi was running on 200 amp residential power. But we knew this. And I think this is why the deal, I don't know why the deal with the tenant and the Belmonte family fell apart before, but I think this was one of the things that it's, you know, they needed 400 amp three phase, and the pole outside needed to be replaced. and it was on Caltrans right away.
Oh.
So you need to get PG&E and Caltrans now to talk. And that was, that would, that took every phone call, every person that I know, friends. I mean, we were in touch with the governor's office. We were in touch with Susan Gorin. We were in touch with Mike Thompson. We were in touch. I went to fundraisers. I was a politician for about 3 weeks. And they were telling me it was a year to a year and a half out. This is like 3 months ago. And I'm like, guys, this is not, this, nobody said any, this is not, no, I refuse. And we made a lot of noise and they came through. They came in like under 2.5 weeks and they literally, they came in, they had flaggers, they shut the road down. They, I mean,
pulled
it
the
was
pole.
December 11th, it was like up.
Unbelievable.
It was story.
This is the behind-the-scenes story no one has ever heard until right at this moment.
Yeah.
So I mean, that was the most that was probably the time where we thought the deal was going to fall apart because there's just no way that we could have kept that alive.
Do you know what that's similar to is Mark Stark's comments about the places that he said, I'm never, although he relented and did. He said, I'm never opening a restaurant in Sonoma County again.
I know. Yeah, Mark, as you know, Mark Stark.
I know. Well, he's a great
legendary
guy.
Stories.
He's told me. I know. We share stories.
Yeah,
he,
I'm sure.
He knows this story.
Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back, and let's dive right into the menu of Stella, the opening today at 4:30 this afternoon. And God bless you for keeping that massive stone fireplace, the old Cafe Chidi fireplace.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's the center piece of the dining room, and it's so welcoming and lovely. Chef John Ash and Steve Garner in the KSRO kitchen with Chef Ari Weisswasser, owner of the Glen Ellen Star.
Said it right.
And Park Avenue Catering, and also the soon-to-be-open in actually 4.5 hours or so, Stella in Kenwood.
Starting your own business is difficult, and Exchange Bank is here to help. Hi, I'm Romero Rodriguez, branch manager at Exchange Bank, where we invest in Sonoma County. That means helping local businesses get started and keep growing. A small business loan from Exchange Bank can make all the difference when you're getting a new business off the ground and as you meet the challenges along the way. Here's Lee Menicucci of Cloverdale Auto Parts.
When our previous bank closed its local branch, the people at Exchange Bank immediately reached out to offer their services. It was the best move we could have made. The friendly staff has been there to support our every need. From loans to fraud protection, we can always count on Exchange Bank to get the job done right.
If you own or are starting a small business, Exchange Bank is here for you. Exchange Bank, investing in Sonoma County since 1890. Exchange Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender, NMLS number 643948. All loans are subject to credit approval.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the people. You may have heard me speak with Steve on Saturday mornings on Garden Talk about buying potatoes from Tom or mushrooms from Barbara, forgetting to mention their business names. This is due to the relationships developed with those who grow the food we eat, something you can't get at the big supermarket chains. The vendors are a great resource to help create the perfect meal for you and your family. Bring your kids, grab a bite and something to drink, and shop the farmers market voted the best farmers market in Sonoma County 2 years running in the Press Democrats Readers Poll. We've been doing this for 50 years. We must be doing something right. So come and visit us at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
License number 254603.
Hey, Aunt Laura, it's Danny here. I just wanted to say I love you.
Danny, you sweet, sweet child. That is so sweet. Now, go ahead. Tell me what happened.
What happened? Can't a gal tell her auntie she loves her?
Of course you can. I'm sorry. Usually, you just say it with your beautiful smile.
Well, then I should say it more often, not just when I smash up one of the vans.
You smashed up one of the vans?
No, Aunt Laura. But still, to say it only after I broke your favorite best boss in the world mug?
Not the one with the little faucet for a handle.
Of course not, Aunt Laura. I love you too much for that.
You are such a stinker, Danny.
D-O-T-E-L-L-I.
And remember, everyone, if you have drains, or sinks, or water heaters,
or cute mugs with faucet handles, remember us at Catelli Plumbing.
You just wait till April Fool's Day.
Oh, no!
Visit us online at GatelliPlumbing.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Steve Garner and Chef John Ash, it's the KSRO Good Food Hour, 38 years and counting as of this year. And special guest today is Chef Ari Weisswasser. He is opening Stella Restaurant at 4:30 this afternoon in Kenwood. We had a chance to sample some of the marvelous food last night at this Italian specialty restaurant called Stella. What does that mean in Italian?
Star.
Star.
Yeah. Glen Ellen Star.
But you have right. Glen Ellen Star.
Stella.
I thought it was from the... The movie.
Everybody thinks from the movie.
And then we have a branch inside Park Avenue Catering called Stellar Catering.
Oh.
Which is kind of a more casual, based around our mobile wood-fired oven and
Well, wood-fire cooking that's part of your DNA, it seems like. You have two dedicated grills at Stella, don't you? One for fish and one for meat?
Yeah, so it's 1 8-foot Mi Brasa unit. It's a Spanish wood grill. And
would you describe it? We were fascinated to see it in operation.
Yeah, so we were looking for a grill that would, a wood grill that would have a firebox in the center. So you can kind of, you could see, part of the show. And that definitely fit the bill. It's an 8-foot, it's a double parrilla. It's the two hand cranks. And so you can manage two different levels of heat. And it's a beast of a machine. It's fun. We're experimenting a lot. You know, we have a variety of items that come off the grill. One in particular, I've been working with Snake River Farms since my days at the French Laundry, and that we're working with their bavette cut, which is kind of like a sirloin flank, cross cut, and it's a wonderful Wagyu Black Angus cross, very very popular. We're doing a half chicken. We're doing some lamb ribs glazed in honey and Roman spices. We have a tomahawk, which isn't on the menu, but that'll be on the menu tonight. Tomahawk for two. Do you have one with the tomahawk?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, you do? Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah, so that'll be on the menu.
It's kind of a scary price, but...
Yeah.
Well, that's what tomahawks are good running for.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Well, it's 32 ounces.
That's
so
right.
It's 2 to 3 people to share.
Absolutely 3 people at our stage of the game. So the antipasti we tried last night were the grilled lamb ribs, which were just terrific. And they were actually almost riblets. You don't see these very often in restaurants because it comes from a different part of the
And do you know what was great about them? They weren't overcooked.
Yeah.
You know, lamb can, I for some reason, when I order lamb out, it's often overcooked and
is that right?
Kind of.
Yeah. Well, these are cured and braised, and then we finish them on the wood grill.
It was a great starter. Yeah. Another one was the mortadella meatballs, the mortadella, the kind of Italian cold pork, the cold sausage.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really a fine meatball. Also.
Yeah.
And you served it with a pesto.
Yeah, pesto.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes mortadella has the pistachios in it itself, doesn't it? Made with pistachios on occasion.
Yeah.
So that was a lovely, lovely. There's many more antipasti. Those are just a couple we tried. Next time will be the Golden Beets. I'll definitely.
Did you have anything off the mozzarella bar?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's coming up next. Mozzarella bar, e fettunta. And this is interesting. I don't know of any other restaurant that has a mozzarella bar in Sonoma County.
No.
This is really great. So you have a 3 different burratas, and then you have a couple, the mozzarella di bufala, and then the mozzarella and the artichoke. We had the mozzarella and the artichoke.
Artichokes,
with the grilled artichokes.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a lot of work to clean those artichokes.
Yeah,
and,
sure. Yeah.
And then that had limon vinaigrette. So that was really wonderful. They all sounded beautiful. And who do you get the mozzarella di bufala from?
So we're buying them out of Italy. We're bringing them in from a purveyor, let's see. Coming from San Francisco, I'm going to remember the name in a second here. And I'm still brushing up on all of my Italian right now.
That's okay. So but yeah. All the mozzarella, the burrata are from Italy.
Yes.
You import
yeah,
all of
them.
They're
all imported from Italy.
So the thing, the pasta section,
yeah.
We were fascinated with that you also, you make all of your own pasta.
Yes.
And that you do gluten-free.
We do. Yeah. So our pasta, I have actually three pasta machines from Emilio Mitti. We have their Dali 2, which is like their smaller one. We do all of our gluten-free pasta in that one. That's a dedicated, brown rice flour, a little bit of cornstarch, some xanthan gum. It's a and water, and so it's a. There's more to it, but
so is this the French laundries?
No, this is actually Michael White at Marea in New York City. My buddy was the chef de cuisine for a long time, and they developed an incredible gluten-free pasta. But we couldn't do it at Glen Ellen Star until later, until we had our second pasta machine, because you don't want to make it in the same machine.
Right.
So now we have a dedicated gluten-free pasta machine, which is great. And the other, we have a Dali 6 at the catering company, which is, a kind of a step up. And then we have our 9 for Stella. And now we do all the pasta production at Stella for both restaurants. And we rotate about 8 or 9 different pastas. We keep 5 to 7 on the menu, depending on what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, it was spectacular.
Yeah, it was.
We had the rigatoncini alla bolognese, the milk braised beef, the veal, and the pork, and I could eat that every day of the week. And the way that pasta is executed, a lot of sauce clings into that.
Yeah, for sure.
That tube, which is really wonderful.
Well, Emilio Mitti came, did the demo. He's a master. And have you had any experience with him? Do you know who he is?
I don't think.
No.
Just
like pasta guru.
So what makes your crispy? We didn't order them, but we were going to just because we thought what
the potatoes, the crispy potatoes. We didn't have room to try
what makes them crispy.
Well, so we
use cornstarch with them.
No. So it's pretty simple. So it's the russet potatoes. We fork them, we roast them overnight in the skins, and we. Overnight. We roast them in the skins, and they're in the walk-in overnight, uncovered. So the skin's nice and dry. And then we cut them, we slightly smash them, and then we fry them until they're just completely, completely crispy.
Are these fried on the grill? Or
No.
Deep fryer?
In the deep fryer.
You have a deep fryer.
Yeah.
But the interior is soft?
Yeah. Interior is soft. Mm. The outside's crispy, and a little pecorino and fried rosemary.
How come you didn't bring those?
They asked if we wanted them. We said, we just don't have any more room to eat anything more. We'll be sure enough just to have a taste.
I'm sure somebody tried to sell you them last night.
And do you use rice bran oil? What are you frying those in?
We are using canola oil. But the more that I am reading about seed oils, canola oils, I think we're going to start moving to either avocado oil or something a little bit more... health conscious.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And we ordered the wood grilled mushrooms.
Yeah.
Those
are great. We grill them over our wooden coals, and then there's a little like a cheese espuma.
Yeah, caciocavallo espuma. The melted juice, like a provolone kind of.
Exactly.
But it melts beautifully.
I know when I looked at it, I thought it's an egg.
You were saying, let's add an egg on there.
Yeah.
Didn't?
Yeah.
He said, maybe I can get a poached egg on this next time. Well, those were really good, and there's several different varieties of mushrooms that you have in this usually.
Yeah.
So that was terrific. We couldn't have room for the rest of the.
So are you the creator of the menu?
Yeah. So I would say. The chef de cuisine Bryant, who's supposed to be here, but he was a little busy this morning, and myself, we co-collaborate on the menu,
and we can't forget for us the star of the meal, and that was the whole grilled dorado, the fish, that was just mind-blowingly delicious.
One of the things you gave us, which was great, was a little, to rate what we like.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
the little sheet to rate it.
And so the fish was the
star.
I did hear a lot of mushroom and fish compliments.
Oh, good. Yeah. And for people that don't know dorado, is it kind of a Mediterranean-style fish?
Yeah, sea bream gilt bream.
Okay.
Gilt bream head is what they say, technically.
And
sea bream.
It was just beautiful with a sauce that I'd not heard of. It's salmoniglio, but to me, it reminded me of a chimichurri sauce.
Yeah, kind of. I would say like the Italian chimichurri.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And what's in it?
Oregano, parsley, lemon zest, olive oil.
A little garlic? Or
yeah, and garlic.
It's so pretty simple.
Yeah. Probably less oregano than a chimichurri. Than a traditional Argentinian chimichurri, but kind of same. It's, you know, you kind of take salsa verde and chimichurri, and it's kind of, you just slight differentials and some of anchovies.
Well,
it's
a beautiful whole fish. Yeah. I mean, this could easily feed 2 to 3 people. Yeah, yeah, beautiful. Easily, yeah. So it's very economical. I mean, the menu, of course, is top of the line, and we won't get a chance to talk about desserts, although we didn't have any room for desserts. But he's talking. That's okay.
No, he's pointing at you.
Pointing at me?
Yeah.
Oh, our producer. Okay, then we're going to say thank you for coming in this morning.
You're very welcome.
Congratulations on opening the restaurant tonight.
Thank you,
Stella.
Thank you.
Kenwood, you have a full website that has the menu
online.
We do.
We have the menu, yeah. And don't forget about the tiramisu.
And don't forget about the
And you showed us.
Oh, my gosh. No, I'm sorry. I've got to show you this photo I took of the fabulous dessert that you did.
Oh, yeah. That's the baked Alaska.
Yeah. The baked Alaska. You've got to try this. John Ash, we'll see you next week.
Yep.
Thanks so much for joining us, and congratulations,
Chef.
Thank
you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Bye.
What is one of Dr. Tom's favorite procedures?
The waist area is one of my favorite areas to perform smart lipo laser liposuction for both women and men. When our patients regain their waistline, they have renewed self-confidence. They love the way they fit in their clothes and how they look in the mirror. Even a small reduction in waist size can take years off your silhouette.
Dr. Tom introduced Smart Lipo to the North Bay in 2007. He has performed hundreds of these procedures under local anesthesia.
Local anesthesia is safe and well-tolerated by our patients. You can actually have breakfast on the day of your surgery, and you'll appreciate quicker recovery with less discomfort.
There's a reason he's been voted the Press Democrat's best cosmetic surgeon of Sonoma County 8 years in a row. Reclaim your waist and proudly put your hands on your hips.